podcast that brings you one guest, one question, one answer. Business insights in minutes, not hours, with your host, the small business and franchise expert, Gary Occhiogrosso.
Hello again, and welcome to Mastermind Minutes. My name is Gary Occhiogrosso. I am the founder and managing partner of Franchise Growth Solutions and also the publisher of FranchiseMoneyMaker.com. If you want to know more about either of those two organizations, just click the link below here on the podcast, and that'll take you over to our website. For those of you who are new to Mastermind Minutes, the concept is very simple. We generally have one question, one topic, one guest, and one expert answer. We do it in minutes, not hours. And of course, while we always say we understand that might be a bit of a tease, generally you can reach out to the guest or the guest organization. We'll give you contact information. But again, the link is listed at the bottom of the podcast. And today, my guest is Scott Deviney, who serves as the president and CEO of Chicken Salad Chick. And prior to joining the Chick family, as they say, Scott honed his franchise experience owning 25 Wendy's franchises in Atlanta. Before that, he built an impressive track record of success as the director and senior vice president of retail and franchise industry management at SunTrust Bank. He graduated from the University of Georgia with a Bachelor of Arts in Economics. And Scott, thank you very much for being with us today. I truly appreciate you investing your time here today.
Well, thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me and allow me to tell a little bit about Chicken Salad Chick.
Yep, absolutely. Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, so the as you heard from the background, I didn't start this brand. It was started by Kevin and Stacy Brown in Auburn, Alabama in 2008. And the story is actually very unique, and every great brand has a great beginning. And this was no different. So Stacy was recently divorced, three kids, wanted to make money, but not necessarily leave the house, being an active mother. And so she came up with the recipe. She was a chicken salad fanatic. And so she worked on her recipe. She developed the great recipe. And the story she tells is, you know, she got it right when she would give it to a friend and say, here, taste this. And they would put it in their mouth. Their eyes would roll back in their head and say, oh, that's so good. And it's so good. And so she said, okay, I've got the right recipe. But, you know, you have all these different friends, and people like chicken salad a different way. And so one of her friends might like it with apples, grapes, and pecans. One might like it with buffalo sauce or whatever. And so she developed a good stable of, call it 12 to 15 different flavors of chicken salad. When she was selling it door to door out of her house, eventually that gets to be a big business, and the health department really prefers you to have a location that can be inspected and things like that, so that you have a good commercial business. So she was shut down out of her house, and that's when she and Kevin started the first restaurant in January 2008. They opened up the first store in Auburn. It was just drive-through and takeout only. They knew a good bit of people in the community. And so made about 40 pounds of chicken salad the first day, and it was sold out in about 2 hours. They doubled it the next day, made about 80 pounds, and it was sold out in about the same 2 hours. So it was off and running. Eventually, they developed three restaurants in the Auburn area. And then in 2012, they started franchising. And so the first franchise was sold in 12, and the first franchise store location opened in late 2012. So I joined the business. Kevin was diagnosed with cancer, unfortunately, in 2013. And so I met them in 2014 and partnered with a private equity group, and we bought a majority of the business, and I stepped in as president CEO at that point. Unfortunately, Kevin lost his battle with cancer in November of 2015. So that's a sad part of the story. But there were 32 restaurants a day that I took over May 1st, 2015. And today we have 195 restaurants in 17 states and growing. The menu is predominantly the same. It's 12 core flavors of chicken salad. We've got traditional flavors, fruits and nuts, spicy and savory flavors. Most of the chicken salads serve either as a scoop or a sandwich, and then fresh made sides and soup every day. And the fun part, every meal comes with a pickle and a small buttercream frosted cookie. And I can tell you, we get almost as many comments on the cookie as we do anything else on the menu.
That's an amazing success story. And, you know, the folks that we've interviewed on this program and folks that I've met, you know, 35 years in the restaurant business myself. I tell people when I started out, I was like 6'4" and now I'm like 5'6" because the restaurant business can wear you down. But what I always find fascinating about founders of companies is that very often the initiative, the impetus, the reason is born out of some negative situation or, you know, people are having a rough patch. In this particular case, the founder had was recently divorced and it sounded like it was a survival mechanism. You know, you got to eat, you got to pay the rent. I also appreciate, you know, the entrepreneurial latitude that people take when they start a business, you know, making chicken salad in your home kitchen and knocking on doors, door to door. At some point, you know, you want to be successful, but when you're successful at some point, you're going to get quote found out and someone's going to say, hey, you need to do this in a, you know, serve safe kitchen and that sort of stuff. So I love that. I love the fact that, you know, the company is up to, you know, post 195 units at this point. Yes, sad part, certainly about Kevin, but it's interesting that, you know, we can kind of plant the flag in the ground and say, hey, here's legacy, which, you know, many people don't really get a chance to do. You know, it sounds like from the way you described that first day or the first 2 days that the community came out in support of the effort, because, you know, doesn't sound like there was any advertising budget behind it. And, you know, no one was on television screaming about chicken salad chick. So it sounds like people who were in the inner circle, if you will, rallied the community and showed up and they sold out a product. So, you know, I'm always very not only intrigued, but very committed to companies that are committed to community, because I believe as a franchise or myself for the, you know, last 20 years, you might be part of a company that has 10,000 units, but at the end of the day, you know, your local, whatever that franchise is, that franchisee is a local business person. In most cases, it's your community shop. It's not the fact that there may be 10,000 others around the world is not really that relevant to your day-to-day life. So for me, when I hear about companies and certainly companies we develop franchise companies. Part of our interview process before we take on a client is to understand how the franchisor expresses how important being connected to the community is to their business. If they write it off, we probably write them off. And I think when you think about what the country, just what the world is in many cases still going through, but certainly in the United States in the last year, how important community came and how a lot of businesses stepped up during the pandemic. And I think that was fine. But my curiosity and my question today is really, what are we doing post-pandemic? What's your take on how Chicken Salad Chick, maybe businesses in general, but we can focus on Chicken Salad Chick. What role do you believe the community plays in the post-pandemic success of the business?
Gary, you're exactly right. I think, you know, we live in communities, right? We can travel around and do whatever we want, go to the beach, travel abroad, but we live in a community. And I agree with you that most of the time, you know, your community stores, whatever they are, whether it's a chain or an independent, you know them because it's your community. So I think if you look at Chicken Salad Chick back in its infancy, it was a community-based business, right? Most of the restaurants that were open that were franchised were a fairly short drive from Auburn, which was a community-based operation. And one of the things that we have always said is one of the attributes that makes our brand very successful is our franchise partners. So we're about 70% franchise, 30% company stores. But those 70% franchise, we are looking for culture-driven, purpose-driven, aligned with our principles and things like that. But also, they have to be a mayor of the market. We don't sell large blocks of franchise stores to a franchisee. In fact, our average is probably 2 to 3 restaurants per franchisee. We have, you know, that mentality with anything over about 7 or 10 stores currently, if we sell those out of the gate, typically it's hard to be in that community. And so we're looking for mayors of the market, as we say, the people that are going to be ingrained in their community. And because we've been doing that for years and years, Gary, I think it's helped us be even more successful post-pandemic, because what happened when the pandemic hit was people still wanted chicken salad chick. It was that connection to the community, the food, the service, the purpose-driven business that we have. And then when the pandemic hit, they still wanted chicken salad chick, but they also wanted to support us because we were part of their community, whether it's sponsoring schools or, you know, being involved and, in, you know, having a place for book club or whatever. That sense of community came through, and the guests really wanted to help us. And I think part of the reason we were successful and still to this day very thriving is because they recognize our commitment to the community and our commitment to where we live. And I think that just, you know, all of a sudden what we started doing were things like community drops, and right, that's where we would pre-sell our chicken salad, our bulk chicken salad that we have in, let's say, a pound container. It's called a quick chick. We would pre-sell those into a neighborhood or a community or neighborhood association or something and say, we're going to be at this spot on this day at this time if you want to place an order. And so people would come out, they would place orders, and then we would line up, like we said, in this parking lot or something, and we would have cars go through and we would have it already bagged with their name on it. That was another sense of being involved in the community. The community really appreciated that we were, one, protecting them. You know, we're trying to make it to where you just pull up in your car, you don't get out. We were all wearing our protective gear. But number two, they were still supporting Chicken Salad Chicken. We were supporting them and offering our great product to them when the world is like that. And I think if you look at today and what you're talking about in the post-pandemic world, our dining rooms are open. Our guests are still able to come in and feel love and that connection of community. And they are very appreciative of the fact that we took care of them, and we did before, we did during, and we are after. I think that sense of community has played out.
Well, you said there's a lot there with what you just said. So I just want to go a little bit deeper. First of all, I love the term, I've never heard it. I love the term mayor of the market. You know, we talk about brand ambassadors, but I think mayor of the market really hits home because you're in that market and, you know, in anticipation of getting involved in the community, you know, it's kind of like you walk down the street with someone that seems to know everyone in town. You say, hey, what are you, the mayor? So I get that. Being 70% franchised and having that sort of culture, which interesting to me, just hearing you say it, and it's very authentic because it sounds like it's woven into the culture and the fabric of the company. It's not some made up slogan that someone has a poster and sticks it on the wall. I've been in offices like that and I realize, okay, that's nice, but that's not you. But this sounds really like the company is totally committed to that culture. So in vetting franchisees, you know, and again, that's a big part of our company. We do franchise, we're an FSO, one division of our company. So, you know, very often some franchisors will, you know, well, does the person have the right experience? Are they properly capitalized? And we'll say, well, let's take a step back. And, you know, part of this process has to be some sort of meet and greet so we can understand where is this person coming from. So I would imagine in a company like Chicken Salad Chick, where culture and community is so maybe part of, maybe it's actually even a point of differentiation. How do you vet franchisees? What do you look for in that initial meeting before you start talking about money and experience?
You know, Gary, it is the number one thing that if you mess up, just like a marriage, you know, we have a 10-year franchise agreement with renewal options. If you miss, that's a long time to be with someone, right? Just like a marriage. Mm. So for us, I think our brand and our company's culture, our purpose is to spread joy, enrich lives, and serve others. And that's the litmus test. If we have franchise owners that, you know, have all the money in the world and a territory that's wide open, they want to go, but they don't show that mayor of the market, they know people, they're positive, they're optimistic, they spread joy, enrich lives, and serve others, and they don't have good stories of how they impact people's lives, then they're probably not a good fit for us. Because as you and I both know in this business, you know, when we open a new restaurant, we typically hire about 50 people. There'll be managers, assistant managers, and then crew for all of our team members. and you've been around doing this for a long time, like I have, those people you have to impact positively, and you can change people's lives and the trajectory of what they do with their life based on how you treat them. And our guests, by the way, it's the same. And I tell our team all the time, people come in the door every single day and we don't know where they've come from. It could be a funeral. It could be a wedding. It could be just found out so-and-so got engaged or whatever. We just don't know where they're coming from, but our ability to have a positive impact on them and change their life positively is what really we're all about. And if we find that, you can tell when we're doing the vetting process of our franchisees, yes, the financial requirements and all, but when we do what we call hospitality days instead of discovery days, because at that point, our franchise salespeople have spent time with them in their market. They've toured with them. They know kind of how they are. They go into the restaurants like you're talking about where they just know everybody walking down the street. So when they come into our office, it's hospitality day, and they spend time with our leadership team, we all get a sense of what they're like with their community. And are they going to be brand ambassadors? And are they going to be carrying the flag of spreading joy, enriching lives, and serving others? And if someone on our team doesn't feel that that's what they're about, then they're not going to make it past to the next level. And so, I mean, I think if you are committed to it, you have to be committed to it day in and day out.
Yeah, I agree 100%. We, you know, part of what we do when we're coaching new franchisors, most of my clients are startups or emerging brands, is, you know, we use this analogy that it's a three-legged stool. And one leg is the concept, and we'll assume you've developed a great concept. And the other leg is the location, which everyone is, oh, location, location. Yeah, that's important. But the other leg is the operator. And if you take out any one of those legs, chances are the stool's tipping over. And I emphasize that because I tell folks all the time, yeah, I think location's really important, but I'd rather have an A plus operator in a B plus location than a B plus operator in an A plus location. Because I truly, truly believe that the tone, even if the operator is not in that restaurant every single day, their tone is in that restaurant through their team members. And how they express that and how their team members are, because team members, that's the first line of defense. That POS operator, you know, that POS operator should be committed and having a great day and love being there and understand that the mission, what the mission of the company is, that they're not simply there to take orders and, you know, press buttons on a, you know, on a toast system. Okay. That they are there to, as a team member, to help fulfill the mission of the company. So I'm a big, big believer in that. What are some of the, if you can share maybe some specific initiatives that the company sees either that are in place already or that the company sees that they'll be rolling out in this post-pandemic era to keep that sense of community going and alive, you know, maybe while people are just kind of saying, oh, COVID's in the past and let's get on with something else. What are some of the specific initiatives?
Well, there'll be the same initiatives that we've always done, honestly, Gary, because when we, you know, going through that interview and vetting process for franchise owners, and we're also doing the same for our company stores when we're hiring team members. What we do for all of our new owners and managers is we do a owner manager training. And that is so specific around how to make our products, how to use the systems and the tools. But part of it is also around leadership and leadership about our culture. And so we spend a lot of time talking about that with our perspective, with our new owners and managers who have signed up. You know, same thing that you've seen before. A bad boss brings you down and makes you dread going to work. Mm. And those are things that we talk about, that you want to be the light that shines bright and let people know that you're positive and, you know, you're going to come to work and have a good time and you're going to enjoy it. And then when we get ready to open new restaurants, we have a team of three people that go out, three trainers that go out to each restaurant, each one with a specific purpose. And they were there for 2 weeks. The first week is all about training, making sure that they know how to make all the products and push the buttons on the register and everything else. But part of it is telling the story of who we are and our culture. And that's what we've done from the beginning and we'll continue to do, because to your point, the first person you see when you walk in is that register. Well, if you've already made it so difficult and they're not excited, they're going to be a negative influence. But if you've made it to where they can smile and greet and take care of, and you know that the team's rallying and supporting you behind you, then you all of a sudden let your personality shine through and you see that you can be a positive influence on someone. And if we just continue to do that day in and day out, then obviously it's been pretty infectious because, again, we're heading up to 200 restaurants in 17 states. Our business continues to grow. And, you know, we have had a hard time hiring like everyone, but, you know, I would say we haven't had as hard of a time as some other of our peers because of the culture in our buildings and the franchise owners and being that local mayor and being connected to schools and churches and things like that to get good talent.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And by the way, I just want to tell you that when I asked the question and you said, you know, well, we're doing more of the same or what we've been doing, I was not surprised to hear that. Because again, when it's authentic, when it's real, it's, you know, I worked with a very wise man when I was in operations. He once told me, I was in charge of the company stores, and he once told me, he said, you know, when operations is 100%, training is natural. So, you know, I never have to worry about dropping a franchisee into a store because it's running the right way. And I think the same holds true with what you just said. When community action, when outreach, when involvement and engagement with the guest on a level beyond the menu, when it is real and authentic and continuing all the time, it's just very natural. You live it. What I'd like to do, you know, before we maybe ask folks, you know, who might want to get in touch with the company, just if you could just maybe give us an outline of what the vision and the plan for the next few years for the company.
Sure. I get very excited about the future because, as you know, putting up a new sign in a market is the best advertising you can do. And so we've been very fortunate. We opened a total of 37 restaurants last year. 26 of them came from June 1st till the end of the year. So even when the world was in a scared place, we were opening new restaurants and they performed quite well. This year, we'll open about 40 new restaurants. So our plan really is to get to about 500 restaurants by the end of 2025. It's a tad aggressive, but you know, part of our growth strategy from the very beginning has been concentric circles. So we started with six states when I got here in 2015. We're in 17 states now, but we haven't done it by just jumping across the country. We're still in those contiguous states around the Southeast. We go as far west as Texas, up to Missouri, over into Virginia, but you hit Southern Illinois and Ohio and Indiana, and then that Southern Virginia area. So what we see next for us is continuing to grow, but just opening up that next band of states. So New Mexico, Colorado, et cetera, mm-hmm. We'll go over. And we'll continue that model because it works. And it also is easier to build brand awareness when they already have a little bit of a connection to you because they've heard about you as opposed to trying to jump state. So 500 by 2025 and just continuing to grow state by state where we can.
That's great. That's a great goal. And I'm completely on board with that strategy. Is again, working with startups and emerging brands, you can imagine some of the conversations that I have where some of my clients, they want to franchise the world. And I say, well, that's fine, but let's talk about brand awareness. Let's talk about supply chain. You know, you've got one or two restaurants in New York and now, you know, you want to talk to a guy in California. Well, you know, how are we doing that? And infrastructure and supporting. So I completely agree with that strategy where you grow the brand in concentric circles. If someone listening, and there's probably a bunch of people listening who have interest in knowing more about Chicken Salad Chick and maybe even how do I become a franchisee, who do they contact or how do they find out? Is there a website? What would be their next step?
Yeah, Gary, the best information obviously is on the web. I mean, chickensaladchick.com has all of our information. It has a franchise page with the step-by-step instructions on how to become a franchise owner. And then we're on all of the social medias, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, or LinkedIn, most of the Facebook or, you know, social networking sites have us on there too. So plenty of information at your fingertips if you want it.
Great, great. Well, we've been speaking with Scott Deviney, who is the president and CEO of Chicken Salad Chick. Scott, thank you so much for your time today. Truly appreciate your insights.
Thanks for having me, Gary. I appreciate it. Have a nice day.